Sports After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your host, Kyle Ireland. Happy to be with you today as we wrap up week number three of the 2020 NFL season. We had some exciting performances this last week. Obviously, a number of local guys had good games, and that was great to see after, you know, I felt like we had a little bit of a disappointing, a little bit of a downer in week two as far as some of the locals in the NFL were concerned. But we had some highlight performances by locals from teams like the University of Utah and BYU in week number three of the 2020 NFL season. We also had an awesome matchup on Monday Night Football. We'll talk about all of that on today's Yards After College podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the show. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. Wherever you get your podcast, you can find the Yards After College podcast. Give us a five-star rating and review. It really helps us, you know, get the show out there to other people that aren't aware of the NFL podcast that we have going on here at KSLSports.com. Again, happy to be with you today to talk about the week three of the NFL season. We're going to recap all of the performances that were highlighted by these locals in the NFL, and then we're also going to have an interview with our BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Mitch has covered BYU for a number of years, and he's been one of two media members to be at both of BYU's games throughout the first 2 weeks that BYU's played of their schedule for the 2020 season in college football. We're going to talk to him about some of BYU's players in the NFL, their performances, what he's seen as far as their growth from their time in college at BYU to where they're at in the NFL now. And then we're also going to ask him about some NFL prospects that are currently playing for the Cougars. So we're going to start the show off today with a little segment I like to call Instant Replay. Starting off today's Instant Replay for week number three, we're going to talk about Fred Warner and his big game for the San Francisco 49ers. Fred Warner helped the Niners beat the San Francisco Giants, and it wasn't even close. I mean, the Giants are not good this year. They're 0-3 after this week three game. San Francisco's defense, led by Fred Warner, was super impressive. They went on to win the game 36-9. The Niners are now 2-1 on the season. Fred Warner had just a beast of a game against the Giants. He was all over the field. He's just put up some great numbers throughout the first three games of the NFL season. Obviously, the Niners lost the first game of the season to the Arizona Cardinals, but they've won back-to-back games now, and Fred Warner's been a big part of that. Against the Giants, he had seven total tackles, including two solo tackles. He had a pass breakup and an interception. The interception was his second of his NFL career. Obviously, you know, thinking back to last season, he had that one in the Super Bowl, but in his last four games, to be able to have the interceptions that he's had has been pretty impressive, to be able to have two picks in four games. A nice start to the season for Fred Warner and the San Francisco 49ers. Another update for the 49ers is last week they signed former BYU defensive end Ziggy Ansah. We've seen Ziggy play for a number of teams now. Obviously was with the Detroit Lions for a number of years, played with the Seahawks, and then now is with the San Francisco 49ers. It was nice to see Ziggy sign with the San Francisco 49ers, be able to get back on a roster after not being there throughout the offseason and through the first 2 weeks of the season. Another thing that happened for a former BYU player was Kyle Van Noy for the Miami Dolphins. My goodness, Kyle Van Noy had a good game in the Dolphins' 31-13 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Van Noy had three total tackles, one solo tackle, a sack, two quarterback hits, a forced fumble. And on the forced fumble, it was a strip sack, and then he recovered the fumble. The Dolphins went on to win that game on Thursday Night Football over the Jacksonville Jaguars to pick up their first win of the season. Nice to see Kyle Van Noy be able to help his team to a victory. Moving on to the former Utes in the NFL, former Utah safety Julian Blackmon got his first start in his second game after coming back off of a knee injury in the Pac-12 championship game last season. Blackmon had one tackle in the Colts' 36-7 win. Again, it was his first start against the New York Jets. A big win for the Colts to move to 2-1. It was nice to see Blackmon be able to, you know, have an impact in his first game to be able to earn that start for the Colts now that they have some depth issues due to injury. Former Utes wide receiver Tim Patrick caught his first touchdown of the 2020 NFL season in the Broncos' 28-10 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Patrick finished the game with four catches for 43 yards and the score. Bummer news for a former Utah State Aggie coming out of week three of the NFL season. Former Utah State wide receiver JoJo Natson for the Cleveland Browns suffered an injury, a season-ending knee injury, according to Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. He said that JoJo was going to be put on IR after having one carry for 3 yards and then also a punt return for 11 yards and a kick return for 31 yards in the Browns' 34-20 win over the Washington football team on Sunday. Not only a disappointment for the Browns, but also for Natson because it was his first season with the Cleveland Browns and now he's out for the rest of the year. Former Southern Utah defensive back and now Cincinnati Bengals cornerback after spending the first few seasons of his NFL career with the Tennessee Titans, LaShawn Sims had his first interception of the 2020 NFL season along with two total tackles and a pass breakup in the Bengals 23-23 tie. I hate those ties in the NFL. I wish that there was a little bit of a different end to that game to be able to have a win there for LaShawn Sims and the Bengals, but they tied 23-23 with the Philadelphia Eagles. Both teams moved to 0-2-1 on the season. Last but not least, former Highland Ram and also former Michigan Wolverine star defensive tackle for the Seattle Seahawks, Brian Mone, had two tackles, one solo tackle, and a tackle for loss, which resulted in a safety during the Seahawks' 38-31 win over the Dallas Cowboys. The Seahawks and Brian Mone are now 3-0 on the season after the win. That'll do it for this week's Instant Replay following week three of the NFL season. We'll take a quick break, and after the break, you'll hear my conversation with BYU insider Mitch Harper as we discuss some of the local Cougars in the NFL and also some potential prospects for the league that are now playing for BYU in the 2020 college football season, how they're performing through the first two games of BYU's schedule, and what it means for their NFL prospects. All that and more after this break. Welcome back into the Yards After College podcast. Happy to be joined now by our one and only BYU insider at KSLSports.com. He's not only a BYU insider on the website, but he's also the host of the Cougar Tracks podcast and also a co-host on Cougar Sports Saturday. For all things BYU, you can check him out. His name is Mitch Harper. Mitch, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Kyle. Happy to be on the Yak, Yards After College. Going to be a lot of fun.
You're the first person that I've had on that's called it the Yak. I mean, I know that like in-house we've nicknamed it as such. I like the hashtag YAC, you know, but the Yak, I don't know if I'm on board yet, but I mean, maybe you'll catch it on with us and we'll keep it rolling. But I'm happy to have you on this week because we've got a few weeks, you know, under our belt as far as the college football season is concerned, but we're also 3 weeks into the NFL season now. And there's been a number of local guys in the NFL, locals in the NFL from BYU in particular, that I wanted to have you on to talk about because I feel like BYU for the last, you know, 5-10 years, Mitch, has been really like undervalued in the state as opposed to like the University of Utah when it comes to NFL talent, right? You've got nearly 30 guys from the University of Utah in the National Football League, and you don't have that many from BYU, but there is, you know, a talent versus, you know, quality versus quantity. Right. You want to have that argument. I feel like there's some heavy hitters from BYU, guys that are exciting. A guy like Fred Warner, who was in the NFL's top 100 this off season. And let's start off with Fred, because I think that, you know, through the first 3 weeks of the NFL season, and I feel like it's been this way through the first, you know, 2 years of his career as well. Every time I turn on the TV, Mitch, I see Fred Warner and it looks like he's better than the game before. What have you seen from Fred Warner, you know, through these first 3 years of his season, because or of his career, that is, because I feel like he's such a different linebacker than he was at BYU. And you've covered him, you know, since he was being recruited all the way through his time at BYU. How have you seen Fred change his game to where he is now?
Yeah, at BYU, he was a hybrid safety slash linebacker in those final 2 years in Kalani Sitake's defense at BYU. Now he's a a true linebacker, and he's one of the best in the NFL, honestly. Like, I mean, like you said, I mean, every single game, it feels like he's just getting better. He continues to improve. I mean, you're looking at someone this year who's had, what, 28 tackles in 3 weeks, just continues to rack up the plays, and he's just a playmaker too. I mean, forced fumbles, he can do it all. And that's always been the calling card for Fred Warner, even back in his days at BYU, was that kind of a little bit like a Kyle Van Noy, where if you need a big play on the defensive side, he can make that for you. I think, Kyle, he's gotten better as a player in the National Football League. Sometimes guys make it to the league, but they don't necessarily progress. They kind of just are who they are from their days maybe at college. That's okay. You're getting paid tons of money because of that. But I just feel like he's continued to evolve his game, where each and every year, each and every week, he's continuing to improve. And I think that the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to be looking at Fred Warner as one of the best linebackers in the National Football League. And that's pretty exciting, because when you go back to your argument of, for BYU, quality over quantity, that is the case. And Fred Warner highlights that. I mean, a guy that was, what, a top 70 overall pick in the NFL draft when he came out in the 2018 draft class. He's far exceeded that draft spot and is one of the best in the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, just the last four games for Fred Warner, he's been super impressive. Obviously, that includes the Super Bowl where he had that interception. But his last game, I know they were playing the Giants, and the Giants aren't great, but the Giants were dominated by the 49ers, who were severely injured. And Fred Warner was part of that. I mean, he had seven tackles. He had one interception. You know, I feel like he's becoming a more well-rounded player, like you said, where, you know, it's not just like a talent here or a talent there, but he's being able to, you know, be a leader on that defense for the 49ers. I mean, he's a captain this year for that team, which I think is impressive in and of itself. But how do you think the Niners organization has set Fred up for success? Because, you know, 5-10 years ago, it seemed like they've kind of gone through a little bit of an up and down, right? Like they went to the Super Bowl with Jim Harbaugh, and then they weren't very good for a few years after that. And then they went back to the Super Bowl last year. How do you think that organization, you know, with John Lynch as their general manager now, Kyle Shanahan as a head coach, like, it feels like they have, you know, the talent as far as a coaching staff and a general manager group is concerned to be able to build up some of these young guys, because you see some of the young talent that they've had come into that organization in the last 3-4 years, and it's been well developed as opposed to how it was 5-8 years ago in that organization.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, Kyle, is that, you know, Fred Warner was inserted early into his career that first week. I remember in his rookie year against Minnesota, and he's just never looked back. I mean, there was a trust instantly with Fred Warner. I mean, when you talk about guys that are considered, quote, NFL draft bust, usually it's because they're getting toyed around with their coaching staffs, inserting them in the lineup. They're yanking them out of the lineup. Like, there's just not a consistent flow and a consistent role week in and week out. Whereas the Niners, from day one with Fred Warner, they've said, you are a starter. We want you to be a big playmaker in this defense. And he's done that. And they haven't yanked him around. They haven't pulled away maybe some of the expectations that they said to him behind closed doors. They've delivered upon that. And I think that's why it's given Fred Warner a lot of confidence, and where he's turned a lot of heads. And maybe people coming into the draft process a few years ago didn't think Warner was going to be this type of talent. But because of just the investment, the commitment to Fred Warner from the jump, I think it's created a situation now where they're going to have one of the best linebackers in football, if not already. Fred Warner is one of the top guys in the league. His rookie year, he was elite, one of the tops in tackles. And I just think he's just going to continue to get better. And I think also, too, Kyle, what I like about Fred Warner is he's someone that both vocally on and off the field, I think he's a leader. You hear him a lot with social justice, injustices, rather, since what we've seen this past summer. He's been very vocal about that and wants to bring change and wants people to be using their platform and voting and things like that. But then also on the field, I think he commands a lot of respect from his teammates. So just all around, Fred Warner is what you want to have as a linebacker in the NFL. But you got to give the credit to the 49ers brass for just believing in him from the jump when he was coming out of BYU.
Now, I was on the front page on Monday, what was that, the 28th of September, with your co-host on Cougar Sports Saturday, Matt Biamonte, and I asked Matt this question. I'm going to ask it to you as well. And I want you to give me, if you feel like, Mitch, you know, your NBA TNT, your Charles Barkley guarantee, if you feel this way. I want to know, do you think Fred Warner is a Pro Bowl player this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll guarantee it. I will guarantee it. He's going to be a Pro Bowl player. And Fred Warner, I think, honestly, he should be. He's on that. He's got that career arc where he could be an all-pro player very soon. Maybe not this year, but I think that within the next 2 years, we will see Fred Warner as an all-pro. But, yeah, Pro Bowl this year, absolutely. That's going to happen 100%. Mark that down. Guarantee it. Whatever Mitch's lock of the century, yeah, it's happening. Fred Warner will be a Pro Bowler.
I like it. Another question for you related to the Niners. They just recently signed Ezekiel Ansah. Ziggy is back in the NFL. He's with Fred Warner on the Niners defense. What do you make of that fit with Ziggy? You know, obviously the Niners defense has suffered some significant injuries, losing guys like, you know, Nick Bosa in the first few weeks of the season. How do you think he fits with that team?
I think he fits pretty well. I think that, you know, you mentioned a lot of injuries for the 49ers. Well, that's been the issue for Ziggy, because when he's healthy, he's an elite pass rusher. I mean, he's nowhere near what he once was when he's first coming into the league, fresh out of BYU, and kind of this raw mold of clay that the Lions were just excited to kind of shape and develop and see what he could become in the league. But shoulder injuries, I mean, various injuries have kind of derailed Ziggy from, I think, maximizing his potential in the NFL, because the times when he was at his best, I remember a Monday night game, I think it was his second the last year in Detroit, where he had 3.5 tackles for loss. He had a pick, I mean, a sack. The guy just can do it all, but injuries have just been the biggest issue. Now, this is kind of the last, I think, last run, the last chance for him to maybe stick in the NFL and carve out a role, because if it doesn't work here, I think we'll see Ziggy just be on the waiver wire and probably enter the retirement world going forward, just because we know the NFL, it's not for long. And if you got the injuries mounting up, and it's hard to be someone when you're getting up there in age to be a pass rusher in this league. But for this year and what San Francisco needs because of all their injuries, I think Ziggy can bring a solid pass rush. I think he can do a nice job, but it's just nowhere what he once was. And that's the thing, is that, you know, when he was coming out of BYU in 2012, I mean, I've never seen a pass rusher like Ziggy Ansah come out of BYU before. I mean, they had guys like Jan Jorgensen before, who didn't get any run in the NFL, though. But Ziggy was just elite. His get off, his initial burst, his speed, just top of the line. That's why he was a top five pick. That's not there anymore. But if he can give them anything, like if he can give them maybe 4 sacks this year somehow and just kind of be a stopgap, maybe that could give him another opportunity to get another contract, whether it be with the Niners or someone else. But this is kind of the, I think, feels like the last opportunity for Ziggy if he wants to stick in the NFL going forward.
Couple last questions for you, Mitch. And, you know, these are some guys here that you covered during their time at BYU, which was significant. You had the dynamic duo from 2012 to 2016 with Taysom Hill at quarterback and Jamal Williams at running back. Obviously, Jamal left the school with the all-time leading rushing record. Taysom Hill putting up ridiculous numbers, not only through the air, but also just on the ground. He was a beast. And I think that through the first 3 weeks of this 2020 NFL season, it's been a bit of a disappointment for both of those players. I felt like, you know, especially coming into the season, you had Aaron Rodgers, for instance, talking really highly of Jamal Williams coming in a half a step quicker, a little bit more agile, and how he was able to be, you know, such a vital piece to them in the receiving game last year, where he had multiple games in a row with, you know, receiving touchdowns. And then you look at Taysom Hill with the Saints, and obviously, Sean Payton has spoken very highly of Taysom Hill and the fact that he has the number two job with the Saints behind Drew Brees. And I feel like, you know, some of maybe Taysom's play is related to that, the fact that he is their primary backup now. It's not Jameis Winston, and so they're trying to keep him healthy. But I feel like it's been a little bit of a disappointment, to me at least, to see, you know, guys that I'm covering in the NFL, guys that you covered at BYU and are, you know, following their careers throughout the NFL, have less of an impact through the first 3 weeks of the season than I thought. I don't know about you. Do you believe that they have had less of an impact than what you originally projected going into this season?
Definitely with Taysom. You know, with Jamal Williams, I thought that the writing was on the wall potentially for him because back in the NFL draft when the Packers selected A.J. Dillon out of Boston College, I thought, uh-oh, Jamal might be the odd man out in that running back room that's pretty busy and has Aaron Jones, who, you know, was at, what, top 100 player on the NFL Network top 100 list. So I think that Jamal might just be the odd man out in Green Bay, and that's okay. You know, if he gets a second wave in the at another stop, he could, you know, turn his career around, because you're right. I think he put in a ton of work to get right and make a case to stay in Green Bay. He's been embraced out there. I mean, he's a fan favorite. The guy is just lovable. That's been one of my favorite things about Jamal Williams in the National Football League, is that the business side of football and the NFL has not taken away from the fun-loving Jamal Williams that we saw at BYU. So that's been cool to see. But Taysom Hill, I am surprised that he has not had the number of opportunities that maybe expected coming in. Only 44 snaps this year for Taysom through the first 3 weeks. And it feels like Saints fans have turned on that man in a hurry after that one fumble against Jamal Williams, Green Bay Packers, this past Sunday night. So I think you're right, though. I think it's a little bit of a byproduct of he is now clearly the number two backup. And I still believe he's the future after Drew Brees, because I think Brees is done after this year. Drew hasn't looked that great. I just think that, you know, Brees is a step slow. He doesn't have that deep ball like he once did. You saw that against Vegas, the Raiders, a couple weeks ago. He did not look good, and that Raiders team is not great. They're okay, but they got pretty much outclassed in that game in front of an empty stadium, an exciting opportunity for Vegas, but empty nonetheless. And so I think Taysom, it's just a byproduct of him being the backup, and I still think there's a bright future ahead of him with the Saints. But for Jamal, I think this was kind of something I felt like was going to come all along, and I think that he's probably going to have a new landing spot next year in 2021 or wherever it may be.
Now, Mitch, you've been one of two guys, as far as the local media is concerned, that has covered BYU through their first two games of the season, obviously dismantling Navy and Troy. You know, really impressive performances, not only on the offensive side of things, but also the defensive side of things. And I feel like, you know, one of the areas of improvement for BYU, and I know that the competition isn't what it would have been or has been in seasons past with Power Five teams on the schedule, but BYU's defensive line has been really impressive to me. Obviously, you know, BYU's offensive line was really highly touted coming into the season, but I feel like the other side of the line of scrimmage wasn't highly, you know, talked about this offseason. And I feel like, you know, Kyrus Tonga, for instance, was one guy that, you know, was potentially looking at the NFL each of the last two seasons. He's come back. And I feel like BYU, you know, not only has ridden, you know, Kyrus Tonga to success on the line of scrimmage when they've had success, but now this season they have a guy like Zach Daw who's helping Kyrus out. And I think that that is helping Tonga's performance this season, where he's not getting double teamed as much. He's not taking the full pressure of that offensive line. And so they're having a little bit more success on the D line. What do you think about Kyrus's performance through the first two games of the season? How is it helping his NFL stock now that he's coming back to BYU for his senior season?
Yeah, I think Kyrus has done a really nice job so far. I mean, him having those two sacks against Troy, one of them was basically just, here, come get the quarterback. He was just wide open, just a free run at the QB. You don't see that very often. But the thing that's been very noticeable with Kyrus compared to years past is that he's more reliable now on the field. And what I mean by that is that, you know, in a critical third down where you're trying to get a stop against the opposition, he's out there on the field. You know, fourth down, he's out there. He's not gassed. He's not physically tired or winded, getting the oxygen mask. Like, he's out there playing. And that was a big question for Kyrus coming in, was that, you know, physically, where would he be at? Now, he's still probably a touch high on the size factor, but, you know, that's just who Kyrus is. I mean, he's a guy that's going to be probably checking in at 329, 330, but then he'll floor you with an amazing 40 time in a combine or a pro day setting, and you go, man, this guy's got a unique body type and measurements and skill set that you just don't see very often. And keep in mind that he's still someone that has only been playing the nose guard defensive tackle spot for about 3 or 4 years. In high school, he was a tight end. So you still got a guy that's kind of learning the position quite a bit, and has still got a lot of upside, and maybe his best years are ahead of him. Now, he is a little bit older because he served a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So, you know, if you do draft him next April, you're going to kind of want some impact right away because he's up there on the older side. But still, I think what we're seeing this year from Kyrus is positive. And it's something that him coming back, this is the type of production you wanted to see, because it's not often you're seeing nose guards getting tackles, let alone two sack performances. He is a guy that's just more than a gap filler. He can be one of the best pass rushers on a defensive line if a team gets him. So, yeah, Kyrus has got endless ability. And I always go back to, Kyle, when his first practice, people around BYU were telling me, this is going to be our version of Hello Tinata. That's being Kyrus Tongan. I'm thinking, okay, this guy hasn't gone through a practice yet. Let's pump the brakes here on the whole Hello Tinata bit. But, again, that was the belief before he even took a snap at BYU, the potential he has, and he's showing that. He's showing that ability, and I think right now he's definitely a guy that's going to get drafted next April. How high? I think it's still maybe a day three grade, but I think that over the course of the season, if he continues to produce the way that he is right now and play with the dominance that he is, we're going to see Kyrus Tonga get drafted, and I think end up much higher draft pick than we're talking about right now.
Now, I would ask you, Mitch, about Matt Bushman if he was playing, and it's a real bummer that we're not seeing Matt Bushman out on the field this season, as he's out for the season with an injury after deciding to come back to BYU instead of foregoing his senior season and going to the NFL early. But I want to ask you about another guy that I think has some potential. And what I mean by that is I saw you put out a piece on KSLSports.com about Zach Wilson. He showed up on Pat Forty's way too early Heisman list. And I know you got some flack on social media about this, Mitch, because, you know, there's a certain fan base in the state who, you know, when there's a little bit of love for the other school, you know, any award watch list or anything like that, it gets the social media buzz flowing. And I want to ask you about Zach Wilson's performance, because I feel like, you know, in that Navy game, he threw that interception early, and I thought to myself, okay, here we go. It's a little bit of what we saw last season. And I immediately saw Zach rebound from that, and he performed well for the rest of that Navy game. It wasn't like they needed him to perform well because the run game was just dominant. But when he comes out against Troy and he puts up ridiculous numbers, a career high in passing yards, he throws for two touchdowns, almost three touchdowns, and then runs in two others. It's pretty impressive to see what Wilson has done through two games. What do you think about his NFL potential if he keeps this up throughout the rest of his junior season?
Yeah, I think that Zach Wilson he's got potential to be an NFL draft pick, no doubt about it. I think whenever you're talking about someone who statistically is right up there right now with Trevor Lawrence, and Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one overall pick most likely next April, you have to kind of start looking at Zach as a potential NFL draft pick. Now, you know, he's got to continue to put some more film out there and continue this level of play that he's at. Is he going to continue with the 78% completion rate? Probably not, but he needs to keep it around 70. And can he maintain over 300 yards per game? I think he could do that in this BYU offense. They're pretty explosive. They want to go down the field quite a bit. And what's noticeable about Zach Wilson, too, is he's throwing the ball well under pressure. In games this season, again, only small sample size, two games, but we've seen Zach Wilson attempt six passes under pressure. BYU's offensive line has been really good, so he's had a lot of time against Navy and Troy. But in the six pass attempts where he was under duress, he's averaging 10.2 yards per completion. The guy's still slinging it and getting it downfield when he's under duress. That's, to me, a sign of a guy that's got a great arm strength, NFL quarterback. Those are things that NFL scouts, I have to imagine, would really like about Wilson. Now, last year dipped a lot of areas statistically, but there was the shoulder injury, there was the thumb injury. That was a big problem for Zach. Freshman year was kind of just a wash, learning, kind of getting a feel for things, but you saw flashes of potential greatness from Zach with that Idaho Potato Bowl performance where he was 18 of 18 in a perfect game against Western Michigan. So I think this is the year where you kind of start to shape what his maybe NFL draft resume can be, because I think the first 2 years were just kind of filling itself out. But now is where he can start to take things off with being a completely healthy player. And you're seeing Zach perform at a really high level. With college football only having 76 teams right now currently playing, Zach's one of the better quarterbacks in college football in the moment. And I'm very comfortable talking about that. Now, by season's end, we'll see where it all shakes out. But as far as NFL is concerned, what he's doing the past few weeks, definitely going to bode well maybe for him down the road as far as putting together that NFL draft resume.
Last thing for you, Mitch, before we set you loose on the Yards After College podcast today. Appreciate you being able to hop on and spend some few moments with us. But I have to ask you before I let you go about your Las Vegas Raiders. Now, the Raiders here, they're one of the adopted teams that we've, you know, adopted as our own on the Yards After College podcast, because we've got the Raiders, and I know it's a rivalry, but we got the Broncos and the Cardinals as well. We're going regional here. But I have to ask you, because I know that you're excited about the Raiders' move to Vegas, that nice Death Star of Allegiant Stadium, beautiful home down there. It's too bad that you and I weren't able to go to that Monday Night Football game against the New Orleans Saints down at Allegiant Stadium, because that would have been an amazing game to go to. But I have to ask you, a big game coming up this week. They've got the Buffalo Bills, who are 3-0, coming into Allegiant Stadium. The Raiders are 2-1 now after dropping a game. I have to ask you, who are you taking? Are you going upset? Are you picking the Raiders over the Bills?
I'm going to go with the upset. I think the Raiders will show out well at home. That game this past weekend against the Patriots, it was almost like a cooked-in loss. It felt like just the typical loss that's baked in with an NFL schedule makers. I mean, you go with the emotional high of the upset win on Monday night against the Saints, and then you got a quick turnaround all the way to the East Coast, two time zones to play the Patriots. It just felt like a built-in loss for Vegas. And the Raiders just never performed well, really, on the East Coast in those early kick games to begin with. So I think they bounce back, though, this week. And Buffalo's still a team that they're not used to having a target on them, like where they're kind of this team that you look at and say they would be the ones getting upset, whereas usually they were always in the role of being the team that's upsetting folks. So that's still something that they're kind of sorting out now. I know that they were in the playoffs last year with Josh Allen, and he's got a bright future ahead of him. I remember watching him quite a bit when he was at Wyoming, and they played BYU a couple years back in the Poinsettia Bowl, and he's a heck of a player, great arm strength from Josh Allen. But I think the Raiders get it done. I think that, Derek Carr has pleasantly surprised me to this point. I was kind of one of those people in the camp of maybe you start to explore other options away from Derek Carr. But, man, you look through some of the stats and the record books of Raider history, you're talking about one of the winningest QBs in the franchise's history. I mean, he's up there with Daryl LaMonica and Ken Stabler, the Snake. So Carr is surprisingly rising up the record books here with the Raider organization. I think they get it done in a close game. I think that there's going to be some points scored. I don't think this Raiders defense – by any means is anything special through 3 weeks. Been battling a lot of injuries too. Damon Arnett at cornerback, first round pick, he's battling a little bit of an injury. He's questionable. So I think that Raiders get it done. I'll say 26-23 Vegas to get back to another victory at home. So go to 3-1, which would be a heck of a start for John Gruden and crew in year one in Sin City.
He's the leader of the Mitchites, our BYU insider, host of the Cougar Tracks podcast, and also host of Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. You can check that out on Saturdays from 12 to 3, except for this Saturday is a little different. We've got BYU football against Louisiana Tech at home on Friday, the 2nd of October. It's going to be at 7 p.m. Mitch is going to have all of that game covered for you on KSLSports.com, also on Instagram at KSL Sports and on Twitter at KSL Sports. But be sure to give Mitch a follow at Mitch_Harper on Twitter. Thanks, Mitch. I appreciate your time and have fun covering that game on Friday.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. Appreciate you and congrats on all your success here on the Yards After College podcast. You're doing a great job and continue the great work being the top guy covering the NFL here in the state of Utah.
Welcome back to the Yards After College podcast, which is brought to you by KSLSports.com. My thanks again to Mitch Harper, our BYU insider at KSLSports.com. Mitch has followed a number of these BYU players throughout their recruiting process, all the way to when they signed with BYU to now where they're at in the NFL. So great to have his insight and his knowledge on the BYU players in the NFL. Be sure to follow Mitch on Twitter at Mitch_Harper, and then be sure to check out his coverage for the BYU and Louisiana Tech game on Friday, October 2nd. It's going to be covered for you on KSLSports.com, also on Mitch's Twitter, and then also on the KSL Sports social pages. Be sure to check those out. If you haven't followed us already, it's at KSL Sports on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you are on social media, search KSL Sports and you'll find us. Before we close today's episode, I wanted to bring up some of the major storylines that are being talked about in the NFL right now. Obviously, a great Monday Night Football game. You saw the Kansas City Chiefs, reigning Super Bowl champions, play at the Baltimore Ravens. Both teams were 2-0 entering that matchup, and you had both MVPs from the previous two seasons facing off against one another. It was impressive to see what Patrick Mahomes was able to do, because, you know, I talked about how he was my MVP pick for the 2020 NFL season before the season began. And then Russell Wilson, my goodness, just came, you know, flying onto that train, that MVP train. He jumped aboard real quick, and it's a two-man race, I think, for the NFL MVP so far through the first 3 weeks of the NFL season, led by Russell Wilson, I think, because of what he's been able to do through the first 3 weeks of the season. But my gosh, Patrick Mahomes, he was spectacular against the Baltimore Ravens. He was doing a little bit of everything, started things off with a running touchdown, and then was just slinging it all over the field as they dismantled the Baltimore Ravens defense, who came in with one of the league's best defenses, if not the best defense, and then, you know, came out with a 34-20 victory on Monday night. Some other major storylines that are being talked about in NFL circles right now: the Steelers and the Titans are scheduled to play on Sunday. That game is now being moved to, it sounds like it's going to be on Monday, potentially on Tuesday, due to COVID-19 issues with the Tennessee Titans. Apparently, a few of the players from the Titans have tested positive for the virus, and so that game is being postponed at least a day, if not 2 days, because of the COVID-19 situation. It's the first game of the 2020 season that has really been impacted as far as scheduling is concerned. Obviously, you know, the limitation of fans, or the number of fans being able to attend these games, has been impacted, but something to keep an eye on as we move forward throughout the number of weeks into the middle of the season here, if these games are, you know, going to continue to be postponed, because this is the first, it may not be the last. So definitely something to keep an eye on as far as the virus and its impact on the NFL. Another thing relating to the coronavirus is the NFL has, obviously, we talked about last week, fined a number of teams after a number of coaches and personnel on sidelines were not wearing face coverings throughout performances during week two of the NFL season. The NFL is cracking down on this. They see the fact that the Titans-Steelers game is being postponed due to positive tests. And obviously, you know, that's something that the league is not wanting to have occur on a regular basis. And so they're trying to limit the impact of the virus on these games. But they're also, you know, talking about issuing suspensions and also taking away draft picks. The NFL isn't messing around when it comes to the coronavirus situation on the sidelines, that is. You know, some of these stadiums are being able to have fans, but they're requiring masks, face coverings during the games for fans, and they're also expecting the same for NFL personnel, coaching staffs, to be able to, you know, have the same standards that a fan would have going into these games when they're on the sidelines. So something to keep an eye on, whether more of these coaching staffs of these teams, you know. Now, $100,000 may not seem like a lot to some of these NFL coaches, or $250,000 fines for these NFL organizations may be a drop in the bucket. And so I think that it's good that the NFL is, you know, taking it a step further by threatening some suspensions, some draft picks, because those are going to be things that, you know, money talks to a certain degree, but I think that those things also have a great impact on whether or not these coaching staffs, whether or not this, you know, personnel issue with wearing face coverings will be solved. Something to keep an eye on as the weeks continue throughout the NFL season. Another story that came out of week 3 of the NFL season obviously we've seen through the first couple of weeks a number of injuries, and not only, you know, week-to-week injuries, but we've seen significant knee injuries and other issues related to field play and turf. I know the San Francisco 49ers talked about playing in MetLife Stadium and the condition of the artificial turf there. The NFL Players Association just issued a statement, or a memo that is, out to the 32 teams asking that they all change their field surfaces from, if they do have artificial turf, to natural grass. Some of these teams in the stadiums have figured out a way to be able to have natural grass, even indoor stadiums. An example of that is the Las Vegas Raiders. Now in their new Allegiant Stadium, we had Tim Hughes on the podcast a few weeks ago discussing this, and the fact that the Raiders actually in Allegiant Stadium, even though they're playing in the dome, they have a system where they can roll out the turf outside to be able to get sun so the grass doesn't wilt, and then they wheel it back in underneath the stadium to be able to have that surface be brought back in to have a natural surface, but also to be able to have, you know, a dome at the same time. There's solutions to some of these problems that, you know, these newer stadiums are figuring out. I took this story, this memo that was put out by the NFLPA, and I put it out as a poll on the KSL Sports Twitter account. You can go check that out at KSL Sports. I asked, would you like to see the NFL move away from playing on artificial turf surfaces and have the league be played all on natural grass? So far, coming in, we've got a couple hundred votes in, and 53% of you are saying yes, that you'd like to see the NFL move to all natural grass. 7.5% of you said no, and then 38% of you, a little over 38% of you, are saying either surface is fine. Go ahead and chime in on that poll. Let me know what you think, whether or not you think that, you know, these natural grass versus artificial grass surfaces are causing, or, you know, significantly reducing the amount of injuries. And check out that article on KSLSports.com. Last thing before we set you loose on this podcast episode today is I want to go over my games of the week. And I think that I have one game that I'm going to highlight as my game of the week, but I'm going to give you three that I think are the best games of the week. The first is the Bills versus the Raiders. You've got the Bills and the Raiders, like we talked about with Mitch. You've got the Bills who are 3-0. You've got the Raiders who were 2-1 after losing a game on the road to the New England Patriots. The Bills are currently favored to win this game, and I think that it's because of the play that Josh Allen has put out this season. Obviously, you know, hasn't had the receiving core that he's had like he does this season with Stephon Diggs coming in. He's thrown for over 1,000 yards so far through the first 3 weeks of the season. He's got 10 passing touchdowns. I like this matchup. It's at Allegiant Stadium. The Raiders, if they can play like they did against the New Orleans Saints at home a couple of weeks ago, I like the Raiders in this game. Another game is the Steelers versus the Titans. That game currently postponed. We'll find out if it's Monday or Tuesday that that game takes place, but it's a pair of 3-0 teams. There's not very many undefeated teams through the first 3 weeks of the NFL season, so I like to see what happens between the Steelers on the road against the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to go with the Steelers. I like them upsetting the Titans at home. I think that Big Ben, you know, coming off of the injury and his surgery last season, he's looked really good through the first 3 weeks of the season. They've got a good wide receiving core led by Juju Smith-Schuster. And then James Conner, after getting banged up in week two, he played really well in week three. And I like the Steelers on the road against the Tennessee Titans. But my game of the week is Sunday afternoon. You've got the New England Patriots, who are 2-1, traveling to the 3-0 Kansas City Chiefs. I'm interested in seeing how the Patriots play after beating the Raiders. You've got the Chiefs, who picked up their third win against an undefeated Baltimore team at the time. I like the Chiefs in this game to move to 4-0, but I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a closer game than a lot of people think it might be. I like the Chiefs, though, coming out on top in this week four matchup. That'll do it for this episode of the Yards After College podcast, brought to you by KSLSports.com. Again, I'm your host, Kyle Ireland. You can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Ireland and on Instagram at Kyle Ireland KSL. We'll be back again next week to wrap up all of the performances from week four of the NFL season. You've got the week four NFL season starting off on Thursday Night Football between a pair of 0-3 teams, the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets. We'll see who picks up their first week of the season. Until then, be sure to check out kslsports.com. Be sure to download the new KSL Sports app. Whether you have an Android device or you have an iPhone or an iPad, you can check out the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Just search KSL Sports and download the app. Be sure to check out the Yards After College podcast again, wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to subscribe and rate and review us. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Until next week, this has been the Yards After College podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.